Today's guest is Daniel Yukelson. He's the executive director and CEO of the Apartment Association of Greater Los Angeles. A friend of mine sent me a podcast where today's guest and a self-proclaimed accidental landlord were interviewed. And Daniel was gracious enough to accept an invitation to join me today. Welcome to Radio Real Estate, Daniel Yukelson.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Mark.
I think I already mispronounced your name. Yukelson. I forgot the L. Yukelson.
Yeah, it's a tough name.
Yeah. So over the years, I've interviewed different people, and I read an L.A. Times op-ed from a self-proclaimed mom-and-pop landlord, Josh Kamali, and recently interviewed Fred Leeds. And you say you know them both?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Both are members. And in fact, Josh Kamali recently came on our board of directors this year. We're really glad to have him. Great deal of experience. Both Fred and Josh, great people to work with.
And do you know many people who own more real estate than Fred Leeds?
I think I know a few, including the head of Moss and Company and Fred's brother, Ben Leeds, and Kyle Kazan from Beachfront Property. I could give you a whole list of them, Mark.
Well, it's mind-boggling that Fred started, you know, with his duplex and went from there. So you had a lot of great topics that you were talking about just recently. The city of Santa Barbara, city council voted on a rent freeze, and we're going to find out if that's going to happen. What I learned during your podcast is that the city of LA instituted a rental cap, and you said it doesn't allow for inflation. And what's that about, and what's the problem with it?
Well, as we've been seeing more and more, there's been what I call a ratcheting down on regulations. And the city of LA, which typically since the very beginning, almost 5 decades ago, when they implemented their rent stabilization ordinance, allowed for rent increases up to a maximum of 8% per year with a minimum of at least 3%. So it pretty much enabled property owners to keep up with inflation. Well, they've drastically changed that, completely pulled the rug out from underneath property owners recently. And they've reduced that rent cap to just 4%. But on top of that, when the allowable rent increases had been CPI based on the consumer price index, which allowed owners to keep up with inflation, they decided to take a little slice out of that. And now owners are only permitted to increase rent by 90% of the CPI. So they're not able to match their revenue increases with cost increases today. In addition, they took away a couple of adders that were part of the ordinance, which allowed owners who have master metered buildings for gas and electricity to be able to charge an additional 1% for each utility. So that is completely taken away from property owners as well. And as you know, we've gone through a period of very high inflation. You know, under the Biden administration, inflation exceeded 7% at one point. And during that time, the city did not permit any types of rent increases. There was a moratorium on rent increases as well as evictions. And so owners were frozen out of any type of increases for almost 4 years. And they're still catching up from that. And they're still catching up from all the rents they didn't collect because of these COVID era moratoriums. And so now to ratchet down and drastically increase the allowable rent increases is a huge financial issue for many owners, and particularly the smaller independent owners that we call moms and pops. You know, they are really going to be suffering under this new rent increase formula.
Exactly. My guest today, Daniel Yukelson, Executive Director, CEO of the Apartment Association of Greater Los Angeles. You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, radiorealestate.com. Let me understand the LA changes and compare it to what I'm trying to remember is the state. The state allowable on yearly rent increases is the CPI plus 5%, can't exceed 10%. Is that close?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that was put into place in 2019 under what's called the Tenant Protection Act, or as we like to call it, Assembly Bill 1482. But even the state, Mark, took a swipe at that. And fortunately, on Tuesday, the Assembly Judiciary Committee decided not to move forward with what was Assembly Bill 1157, which would have cut those allowable increases in half. What the author wanted to do was make the maximum cap 5% versus 10% and only allow 2% plus the CPI instead of 5% plus the CPI. So again, we keep getting these, what I call death by a thousand cuts through local regulations or even state regulations. And so they just keep coming at us fast and furiously. And more of these local jurisdictions continue to adopt these same rent stabilization, or some people call them rent control ordinances. And it's the same thing over and over again. And here we are today in the state of California with huge homelessness populations, fast rising rents, and major housing shortages. It's a supply and demand thing. And we are not producing the supply of housing we need because of these horrendous ordinances and horrendous regulations that we've had in place for nearly 5 decades today. It's, as I say, it's like the definition of insanity. These local jurisdictions keep on taking the same actions and expecting a different result, but it's not working.
And I believe the Santa Barbara City Council vote was 4-3, with the three dissenters making the argument that where rent control, or LA calls it stabilization, when they've really tightened it, they can't show where it's worked. So their fear is that it's going to push more and more mom and pop people out of the business and get you corporate owners. The other side of the coin, we want some balance. You don't want rents to just go have no bridle on it. You want people to be able to afford to live somewhere. A lot of people complain about Santa Barbara. It's so expensive. I'm sure you cover an area where it's a lot more affordable. But one another thing I heard you say on your podcast, my guest Daniel Yukelson, Executive Director, CEO of the Apartment Association of Greater Los Angeles, that despite these changes where you would think LA is trying to help the tenant, you said something about LA losing a certain number of stabilized units per day. Why is that happening? And what are those numbers? What does that mean?
Well, absolutely. A number of years ago, about 3 to 4 years ago, a study was done and determined that the city of LA is losing 5 to 5.5 rent stabilized units, rent controlled units per day. And so every year, hundreds, thousands of units are being shaken out of the market. And what's happening is these property owners cannot afford to be in this business anymore. And, it's not just the fact that they can't keep up with fast rising costs because their rent increases are limited. But these regulations today are so unbalanced that there's a huge legal liability or legal exposure by being in this business. Owners are being subjected to habitability claims because maybe owner, tenants are claiming that there's mold, or the owner is not addressing something that needs to be fixed, even not addressing things that owners don't know about because the tenants don't report it to the owners. They immediately turn around and report it to a housing department. Owners are being sued for harassment and a number of other things. And, the real world that we live in here in California is it's so expensive to prove that, you did not commit those infractions as an owner, that these owners are being forced to settle out of court. Insurance companies are giving payoffs to settle, these claims that tenants are making. And oftentimes these claims don't come up until the tenant has stopped paying rent and the owner is, given a 3-day notice and, starts the process of eviction. And all of a sudden there's a habitability issue. All of a sudden there's a harassment issue. And these, bad actors are literally walking with, tens of thousands of dollars of extortion money, either paid out by these owners or paid out by insurance companies. So, the legal risk of staying in this business and the limited return has forced a lot of people to want to leave the business, particularly smaller owners. And what's happening is, corporations are coming in, they're buying these properties that have traditionally provided affordable housing to people because these smaller owners generally had not raised rent consistently. And these owners are being forced out of the market, and these corporations are redeveloping the properties into either condominiums so they don't have to deal with these rent regulations, or into luxury rentals, which is really not what we need to solve our affordability issue here in California.
It is a tough balance. My guest, Daniel Yukelson, Executive Director, CEO of the Apartment Association, Greater Los Angeles. It is a balance. You said bad actors. You were talking about tenants. There are bad landlords, but I think there's so many rules and regulations in place that I'm not sure how many bad landlords can really get away with stuff. You mentioned, but certainly, you want to hold them to account. You don't want a bad landlord either. You mentioned the Housing Department of Los Angeles. There was something in your podcast that was said that you mentioned this already, that a tenant might call them directly instead of calling the landlord and giving them a couple of days to address some mold or address a smoke alarm that was pulled off the wall by the tenant. Did you say something about the housing department not having any teeth or can't make decisions? Was that you?
No, that might have been the gentleman who was on that with me. But the issue with the housing department we find is they're very renter focused and really not very sympathetic to owners who've put their life savings into these properties to house people in their community. And so the regulations, again, as I mentioned, are highly unbalanced, and owners are very, very few times are given a break. And there's really no ability on the owner's part to mitigate some of these issues. They're given a very short timeline to address some of these things, and it's literally impossible to get a contractor in to deal with certain things in time and to mitigate it. And so what happens is these housing departments swoop in, and they have the tenants paying the rent directly to the housing department, and the owner then needs to apply to pay their mortgage, to pay for the cost of repairs and things like that, which is what that other gentleman who appeared with me had to go through until I was able to step in and address the issue with the head inspector for the city of Los Angeles.
We'll probably circle back to that in segment two of our interview. My guest, Daniel Yukelson, Executive Director, CEO of the Apartment Association, Greater Los Angeles. It seems that the week before I interviewed Ron Wolf, he's a property manager here in the Tri-Counties areas, and Isla Vista, adjacent to UCSB, they came up with something where they're doing random inspections. And again, you don't know if there's something wrong in an apartment, if the tenant doesn't alert you. And there was already a mechanism in place for a tenant to contact the county. And there was a mechanism for them to get something done if the landlord didn't address it. And they're spending $600,000 to run this program, when he felt it really wasn't broken, that the 95% of landlords are actively involved and a tenant communicates with them. So it's kind of a bizarre thing, and you don't know. But you're saying that in Greater Los Angeles, the tenant is not required to initially contact the landlord. They could go straight to the housing department for a complaint.
Absolutely. And they typically do. Part of the problem, Mark, is there needs to be a great deal of education. These regulations get passed, and it needs to somehow filter down to the renters so they know what their rights are and they know the protocol on what to do when they're having a problem. The last thing anybody who's invested, here in California, millions of dollars into an investment property wants to have is the property breaking down, maintenance to be deferred, because it just ends up costing more in the long run. And, here in California, it exposes you to so much legal exposure, it's just not worth it. The best thing to always do is to address the issue as quickly as you can, provided you can afford it and you're given a chance to be able to afford it under some of the regulations. So You're absolutely right. I didn't mean to characterize all tenants as bad actors. I know there's bad actors on both sides, but what I've found is well over 99% of tenants and owners act properly and engage with each other properly. It's always, a few outliers that end up getting people into trouble.
Right. And it seems too reasonable not to expect that a tenant should initiate a contact with the landlord to document it, to call them, to email them, and say, hey, I have a problem. And if
But
within, 24 hours or 48 hours, the landlord doesn't say, okay, we're going to do A, B, and C to correct this, then you complain to the housing department. To go to the housing department first, makes no sense. My guest, Daniel Yukelson, Executive Director, CEO of the Apartment Association of Greater Los Angeles. You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, radiorealestate.com. I'd like to take a quick break and then come back and talk a little bit more about the the fellow who is with you on the podcast, the accidental landlord. I love how he called him that. My buddy Redlands Jeff has been on my program, owned 28 units, and over the past year, now he owns 3 units. He got out of the business. So I'll be curious to hear some stories about your accidental landlord, what happened to him, and a few more items going on in Los Angeles. There was a premium now when you sell an apartment building. So I'd like to know about that. You're listening to Mark Schneibman's Radio Real Estate, radiorealestate.com. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.